Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? How many of you know Jesus is alive? You know what amazes me? He died for people who don't even believe in him. Just in case they changed their mind. That's good. I changed my mind. You know what I'm saying? Today is the day, I got to be honest, I heard a couple of comments that I think are absolutely perfect for today, is that this is the weekend hell hates the most, because they thought they had him, but they didn't. Instead, he had them. Also, that everybody says, Jesus died for me. No, Jesus died as me. I'm the one that put him on the cross. You may not hear a lot of preachers this weekend admit that or say that, but here it is. The Bible says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way. But see, I'm an American, so let me put that in American terms. Here it is. In the biblical terms, it's all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way. But in America, we say, you nasty. There it is. I'm nasty, you nasty. Wouldn't you like to be nasty too? Well, you are, all right? But because of Jesus, not anymore. I just wanted to give you a couple of points of what Jesus did on that Friday. Now, the first thing I need you to do is count with me, because I found something out about Calvary, about Jesus hanging on the cross. So every step I take, you count the number of steps out loud. Here we go.
One.
That's good.
Two.
Keep on.
Three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Four.
Okay, that's important. Four is important. Keep going.
Five.
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah.
Now,
the Roman soldiers had a lot of really, really, really strange things. And if they crucified three, they could not have them more than 8 feet apart. So if this was a thief, then this was the other thief, which means Jesus was right here. So let's just look at it like this. On this Friday, you are no more than 4 steps from your miracle. You are 4 steps from the one that can save you. You're 4 steps from the answer to your need. You're 4 steps from the one who can change everything. No matter how far you drift left or right, you may think you're on the backside of nowhere. You are 4 steps from the answer. Forgive me if I start preaching like a black American. That's because I am. Now look, black preachers, black American, y'all saw the movie Madea, so y'all know what this is like, all right? So you got to go with me. So number one, for the rest of the time, you're going to have to talk to your neighbor. So look at the person beside you and say, I got to talk to you. You just saw your wife for the first time this morning. I know. Just okay. Number two, you got to talk to the preacher. Everybody say, come on, Reggie. All right, all right. Y'all starting to smile. Y'all like this, don't you? Like, everybody needs a little black America in their life every now and then. You know? Yeah. She's from Georgia, so I know. I know. I'm just saying, so y'all, this is the best Good Friday you'll ever have in your life. It should be the best one any of us will ever have, because today is where freedom came. Today is where hope came. Today is where joy came. Today is the day that it all began. See, a lot of people thought it was the end, but it was the end of the beginning. Hello? And I'm just here to tell you this morning, I'm happy. If you've never heard me before, I'm just a brother from another mother. Ain't no thing but a chicken wing. I'm a beggar trying to tell another beggar where the bread is, all right? I grew up in foster care my whole life. My mom gave me away to her favorite teacher at school. My dad was to walk in this room, I wouldn't know him. But I was only 4 steps from hope. I was only 4 steps from love. I was only 4 steps from peace. Let me read something in the Bible for you, and that's what I wanted to look at today. If you got your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Matthew 26, 39. Jesus did one thing. Not only is it in Matthew, it's in Matthew 26, 39, Mark 14, 36, and John 18, 11. All three of the main Gospels wrote this particular thing because it was just that important. So here's what it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Going a little further, he fell on his face down to the ground and he prayed, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Not as I will, but as you will. That same kind of thing happened in Mark 14:36. Going a little further, he fell down on the ground and he prayed, "Is it possible at this hour that the cup may be passed from me? Abba, Father, even is it possible to take this cup from me? Yet not my will, but your will be done." John 18, verse 11. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword down." This is after he cut his ear off. That was awesome. Those kids were awesome. I love Thomas. That's the way I see Thomas. Poor brother made one mistake and they nicknamed him that for the rest of his life. Do you know what he did? He preached the gospel around the world. But yet and still, every time he got up, "My name's Thomas." "Oh, the doubter, shut up, all right?" Okay, I know you've made a mistake, but one mistake. Like Peter, when Peter was walking on the water and he fell, started to sink, Jesus pulled him up. Everybody's like, "Peter almost drowned." No one and everyone skips the fact that he's the only brother other than Jesus to walk on water. At least he got out of the boat. Maybe I look at it that way because I'm a messed up brother. I know. I have to look for a way out. My mama said I did that all the time. So they're in the garden. They're about to take Jesus. Peter grabbed a sword, cut this dude's ear off. And Jesus looked at him and he says, "I command you, Peter, put down the sword. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" And I started going on this little quest. And it's all I want to talk to you about today. What was in that cup? What was in that cup that in every gospel Jesus begs his Father not to give it to him? Now, the Old Testament is nothing but revealing what the New Testament would be. So the Old Testament is nothing but setting up who Jesus is. The Old Testament sets up the king. The New Testament reveals the king. See what I'm saying? So we go back all the way to Isaiah. We see what was in the cup. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 17, it says this: "Awake, awake, O Israel, you who have drinking from the cup of the Lord with his wrath. You have taken the drudge of the goblet, and it made the man to stagger." So what was in the cup? Drudge. What's drudge? So I looked it up. Here's the definition of drudge according to Webster's Dictionary. There's three definitions. Number one, it's the non-use liquid in the bottom of a beverage. Useless residue, coarse parts, dredge of society is anything and everything that separates man from his creator. So could it be that right before Jesus went to the cross, after living 33 years a perfect sinless life, that in order to die for sin, he had to become sin? Oh, I know. Look at you. Some of you are like, it's okay. I did the study. Dredge is every sin man ever knew. The only way he could die for sin is if his Father let him become sin. So in the garden, Jesus is praying and he goes, "Guys, don't leave me." It's almost like in his spiritual, Jesus got like a text. "I need you to meet me in the garden. We got to talk." And he's going to meet God. So he looks at the three, like, they told you. You know, Jesus said for us to wait and pray, but we fell asleep, and the one dude was snoring. But you got to understand something. When Jesus said, just wait for me, I got to go, you just wait for me. And then God came down, and he says, "Here, drink, you got to do this." And he goes, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." "Abba, Father." "Father, if it's your will, come on, I'll do it. But please, if there's any way, I don't want to do it." 33 years, he did perfect. 33 years, never met a snake. 33 years, he did exactly what the Father said, but God the Father knew there had to be one act that could reach a brother like me, a guy from foster care, a guy whose own father didn't want him. There had to be one act to make him become the man. There was times where he showed it. He glimpsed that he would go the distance. Remember the woman caught in adultery who was thrown in the church, and he says, I don't condemn you. Is anybody condemn you? Right before he did any of that, the Bible says they threw the woman in the church and said, the law of Moses says to stone her. If you want to read it, go to John chapter 8, and he says, what do you say, Jesus? They were trying to fool him into saying something wrong. Instead, he said, the Bible says Jesus stooped. He stooped down and started writing in the dirt. Maybe sometime I can come back and open this up for you. But you know what I love? I love that Jesus stooped. I believe in a God who stoops. That if somebody's messed up, he'll go down to their level. That's why he was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He couldn't find room in the inn. Why? Because there's people who live in the world who can't afford an inn. So Jesus would be better than him. He had to be born on the lowest level for the lowest person who will ever be created. Why? Because that's why they call him the king. His story has sailed between time. Even the secular people can't get rid of Jesus because his movie's better than whatever they got. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? You got to understand, some things you just don't have to apologize for. And I don't have to apologize for believing in Jesus. Why? Because I know what he's done for me. I know who I believe in. And I know that he's able to keep me from falling. Why? Because his father said, you got to drink. And he said, okay. Every sin was in that cup. And he did it. So no matter what you've done today, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are four steps from hope. You are four steps from peace. You are four steps from joy, unspeakable and full of glory. You are four steps from Jesus. And he will set you up because he drank it, died for it, and rose again. Now he owns it. He owns it all. I'll never. My life is the most incredible. I love my life. I love what I get to do. When I leave here, I'm going to preach Sunday. I'm going to get on a plane Monday. I'm going to go home for 9 days. Then on the 28th of April, I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to fly to Auckland, New Zealand. I'm going to do a conference called Shout Conference for 3 days. Then I'm going to fly to Brisbane. I'm going to do, how many kids did they say? 65,000 kids in 5 days in schools in Brisbane. When I get done there, I'm going to go back to Auckland. We're going to do 15,000 kids in schools on the North and South Islands in 2 weeks. Then I'm going to go, I'm going to marry my niece, and then I'm coming here, and I'm going to do schools for you and your rally, and then I'm going to speak on the first day of June for your church on that Sunday morning, and then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to die. That is way too much time on a plane. I don't know where I'm going, where I'm coming from, but I can't wait. Because why? Because I found out something. You know what? When I decided to go to the man in the middle, you remember the man in the middle? His name's Jesus. You know what I love about Jesus? Even on the cross, he did something to mess people up. You think you got to do something to earn God? You can't do nothing but open the door. Rome, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in. You know what's great? It's not what you can do. It's what he already did for you. Yeah. All you got to do is accept him. I love that. I love that. I love that. The thief looked at him and says, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and save us too. The other thief says, don't you fear God? When you get to paradise, just remember me. Here's what I love. Do you know what Jesus said to him? Where I am, you will be also. What? Okay, this dude's a thief. Dying on a cross. With about, all what? At the max, 2 hours to live. And Jesus looks at him and goes, where I go, you will be also. What could he have done in those 2 hours other than try to keep breathing? He couldn't earn his way into heaven. So for those people who think you earn your way into heaven, Jesus took his last move and just blew that right out of the water. This dude's a thief. He stole from people. He said, I deserve. He said it. You hear him say, I deserve to die like this. He's done nothing wrong. And Jesus says, where I am, you'll be with me. All you got to do is believe. Just believe. In the middle of your hurt and your pain and your sorrow, just believe. I was on an airplane, and this is the crazy. I do my best to go incognito on airplanes. I look as black as possible when I get on airplanes. If you ever seen, I got a flat rim baseball hat pulled down. I got Beat headphones and they're on, dude. I got music on and I'm just doing my thing. I try to either get on first or I get on very last so I can just sit down and just mind my own business. I was in 3B. I remember it like it was yesterday. I sit down, my iPod was on random. So any song on my iPod would pop up. This song popped up on my iPod and it goes like this. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. And out of nowhere, literally, I'm a preacher. I've done this for years. So I sit down and I go, oh, I know that song. All of a sudden, I can feel it deep in me. Have you ever known that a song got you? And you know that this is God, that the presence of God is about to. And you know what I found out? God don't care where you are. He will come up on you at any given moment. I'm in 3B going, oh, God, I'm black. I got my hat on. You can't do this. But I didn't want to stop it because I'm going to be honest with you. I really love the presence of God. And I'm not spiritual. I'm not spiritual. I'm probably the most carnal preacher you'll ever meet in your life. I'm just not that deep. I'm sorry. I know. But I'm not. But you know what? I think I love people. I just don't want nobody to grow up like me. I don't want nobody to be four steps from the truth and not know it's there. Why do you think I told your pastor I was preaching today? What am I going to do, sit in a hotel and sleep? So here's the deal. So all of a sudden, it started. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. And the more it played, the more I just started crying. So I had my hat on, so I knew I could hide. All of a sudden, something's tapping me. It's the guy in 3A. He goes, are you all right? And I go, I could have said I got toothache. But why? I just looked down and said, I don't expect you to understand. I believe in Jesus. There's a song on my iPod that reminds me of where I was before Jesus. And it's overwhelming. And he says what everybody says. When everybody finds out I'm a preacher, first thing they say is, I never would have guessed. Do I just not look like that? Then he goes, hey, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what? He goes, can I listen? I went, sure. So I give him my headphones. I start the song over. I start reading a magazine. All of a sudden, I look over, and he crying, looking out the window, crying. I'm like, why he crying? So I touch him and went, you all right? It's the song, ain't it? It's the song. And he took the headphones off, and he goes, right before you sit down, my wife called me. And she said that her and Princess, that's my daughter. I said, you named her Princess? He went, yeah, she's beautiful. I said, that's awesome. She's five. I said, five. She said, me and Princess want you to know we love you. We know you're on a business trip. She goes, but I know something's wrong. I just want you to know I prayed for you in church this morning. I'll see you when you get back. Well, oh, that's cool. He said, but then Princess got on the phone and said, Daddy, Jesus told me to tell you he's going to send somebody to help you today. And I'm like, and see, that's just it. Any spiritual person would have caught it coming. Me, I'm like, oh, that's good. Little Princess said that to you. You know, everybody else in the room is like, man, I think you're it, dude, you know? All of a sudden, he goes, it's not a business meeting. I'm having an affair. I'm meeting her at a hotel by the airport in Chicago. And my mind's going, awkward. Then it turned into awkward silence. And he looked at me and goes, what are you going to say? I said, there ain't nothing I can say that Princess hadn't already said. I could have sat anywhere else on this plane, but I'm sitting by you. And that song came on random as I sat down. And the presence of God touched my heart to where I would cry. He didn't touch me for me. He touched me for you. By the time we landed in Chicago, when we're landing, I go, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He goes, I want that. And I led him to Jesus. I got off the plane. I was going to Paris and then to South Africa that day. And I'm waiting at my plane. I see him running down. He looked at me and goes, hey, I got my ticket. I'm going home. And I said, that's awesome. I said, now you got two tickets. Because, see, the Bible says when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we get to go home. See, Jesus died so that we could go home. Four steps from hope. Four steps from peace. Four steps from joy. Four steps from your miracle. Do you know him today? If not, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The next verse says this. For it's with our mouth that we confess, but it's with our heart that we believe. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. My mom slept with a man for $20 to get food for my brother and my two sisters. That's why she gave me away. I reminded her of the worst day of her life. From 8 years old to 21 years old, I was highly suicidal. But I was four steps from living. I was four steps from Jesus. And if he could save me, he could save you. Two things I want to do. I want to say a prayer, ask you a question, and I'm a saxophone player. And there's no way on Good Friday I ain't going to play a saxophone song. So before Pastor comes, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you a question. Now I'm going to play saxophone, all right? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that the sky went dark. Thank you that God ripped that curtain in two that separates men from the presence of God so that today, no matter who we are, where we're from, we can just step up into you. God, I pray that you would touch your people today, that somebody may be struggling today. Somebody may be 4 feet to the left or 4 feet to the right, but Jesus, you're in the middle. Help us to take another step closer to the cross, another step closer to salvation, another step closer to you. So God, I pray as we pray this prayer, you will see the heart of your people. Redeem the ones who need to be redeemed. Save the ones who are drowning in their sorrow. Give hope to the hopeless. Give sight to the blind and give joy to the sorrow. In Jesus' name, we're all going to do it, front to back, left to right. As I close my prayer, we're going to do Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Say it with me. Say it loud and strong. Say, Jesus, with my mouth, I declare you, Jesus, are the Son of God. In my heart, help me believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. For me, I take my step to the man in the middle. Because the man in the middle is Jesus. The man in the middle is my key. The man in the middle is my joy. The man in the middle is my hope. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a chance to come clean, to be right, and to be free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everybody, look at me. Bible says this: if you declare me before man, I'll declare you before my Father in heaven. If you disown me before man, I will disown you before my Father in heaven. I ain't going to embarrass you. This is Good Friday, but I got to know what Jesus did. If you're in this room and you say, Reggie, when I walked in, I had some problems, but I said that prayer, and I went to the man in the middle this morning right here, and I said that prayer. If that's you and you did that, on three, I just want you to raise your hand and wave. But before you do that, you got to do this in front of man. So, pastor, just stand up and turn around and look at your people, all right? So if you say, this morning I got right with God, just wave at pastor right now. Ready? Go, 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 go. Awesome, 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 awesome. Do me a favor. He's going to be in the back as we leave. Just shake your hand and say, I know you saw me wave at you. Thank you. Why? Because you're confessing to man. And I'm going to tell you right now, no one loves you more than him. He would fight for you. Odds are he would win that fight too. Could possibly be the most built pastor on the face of the planet Earth. I'm just going to say that right now. Can I play a song for you? You might know this. You might know this. This is who our God is. Our God is awesome. All right? Our God is awesome. This song simply says, our God. I'll play it and then pastor will come. Thank you for letting me be with you. I'll see you. June 1st is the Sunday I'm here. We're going to rock it. We're going to rock it. We're going to rock it.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.